Sometimes I get so low. You know the devil lets me know I'm so undeserving, unworthy of God's love. And oh yes, I know it's true, but here I am with the chosen few. I stand today, yes, I'm saved just by the blood. But for the blood shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness is filthy rags, and that's all I'd ever be. But for the blood that cleansed and set me free.
This is Pastor David Warner welcoming you to the Nuggets of Truth broadcast. Open up your Bibles. Going to be looking today at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 5. You know, the past weeks we've been looking at Pentecost. The fact that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, he stated that the promise of the Father, the Comforter, would come. The Holy Ghost came. We have Pentecost. We have the baptism of the Spirit, the beginning of the Church of God, not a denomination, but the body of Christ, which is made up of all born-again believers. You see, when a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and to save them, it is then that the baptism of the Spirit takes place. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, we have the Church of Corinth. We have an event. We have something that took place in the Church of Corinth. And the Apostle Paul deals with the sad spiritual state of the local church that was at Corinth. Sort of reminds you of the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation. You see, at the end, before Jesus comes, when I say the end, I'm talking about the end of the church age. The churches are likened unto the Laodicean church. If you want to know what that's like, you get to the end of that passage and you find Jesus Christ on the outside. He's knocking on the door, wanting to be left back in. Because you see today, most churches would not allow what Jesus taught. They've gone beyond the Word of God. They're bridging the world with the church. They have their programs. They have their speakers. They have all the different things that they're going to be doing, all their ministries. But yet, when it comes to God's Word, they've left it. And that's a problem. And so you have the Church of Corinth. You might say, well, what does that look like? Well, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, Paul's making a statement. In the Church of Corinth, a man took his father's wife. It was known. It was said that not even the Gentiles would do this. He's talking about people that are not churchgoers, people that are lost, people that don't claim Christ or claim to be Christians. Not even they would do such a thing. It was incredibly wrong. And he says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. In other words, they refused to deal with the sin that was in their church. You know, it's easy to justify things. Oh, today we've got people that refuse to call their sin by that little three-letter word, sin. They'll say it was just a mistake, just a bad situation, and they'll justify what they're doing. And that's exactly what is happening here in the Church of Corinth. Now remember, Paul said marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Understand, marriage should never be dishonored by any violation of the marriage contract. What Paul's saying is there must be faithfulness to the marriage vow. And a little bit later on in the book of Ephesians, he makes a statement, fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. In other words, if you claim to be a Christian, There are certain things that should never be said of a Christian. And so Paul says, I have judged already as though I were present. In other words, he heard about it. He's writing to the church of Corinth. He's saying, there should never be anything such as this in the church. Now, in verse number 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this man evidently was saved. He was a believer, and yet he did this terrible wickedness. And Paul says, you know what? You need to administer church discipline. That's what he's saying here. Goes back to Matthew 18, verse number 15. You can read 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 and 5, and then go back and read Matthew 18, 15, and then go all the way down to verse number 17. Because you see, when Jesus spoke concerning using church discipline, this is what he said. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, put him out. He's no longer a member. Put him out. Treat him like a heathen. Treat him like a sinner. Have no fellowship with him. Now you might say, well, that's a little harsh. But that's what God intended. When the Spirit of God came down and dwelt among all believers, he leads, he guides, he seals. We have the Word of God. We are to follow what God said in his Word. And there's a reason for this, because you want him to get the sin right. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. You know, one thing you have in the early church is great fear. People that committed willful sin, they were put out until they got it right. This man, by the way, eventually does get it right. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians. Okay, but understand one thing. You know, this is what we're to be doing. You don't let willful sin go on in the church. If you want to know why, well, he will address this, because he tells us, look, understand, you let this in your church, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, it will contaminate. It will affect. You know what I tolerate, I eventually will have to live with. And so I have a responsibility in my family. I have a responsibility in my church. If your church allows people to willfully sin, in other words, to go against what God says in his word, and nothing's ever done about it, then you're like the church of Laodicea. You have the Lord Jesus Christ on the outside. He's knocking on the door, asking if he can get back in. You have members who are willfully sinning, setting an example before your children, before your church members. And the Apostle Paul says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Won't be long, it'll spread throughout the whole church if it's not addressed. And so in Hebrews 10, verse number 26, Paul writes concerning willful sin. He says, you know, in the Old Testament, when a person committed willful sin and he wanted to make an offering or a sacrifice for his sin, God said, remove him from the altar. There is no sacrifice for willful sin. Now look what he says, if we go on, of how much sorer punishment. This is Hebrews 10, 29. Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge, and look at the pronoun here, his people. That's why when we partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, the Holy Communion, he says, judge yourselves. Make sure that you confess sin before you partake of the Lord's table. You're partaking of the broken body. The bread, you know, is a symbol of that broken body. You're partaking of the cup of the vine, the blood that was shed. It's a symbol of the blood that was shed. It's for you and I to remember we were bought with a great price. Our salvation came at a great price. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He bled. He died that you and I might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life, that we could obtain eternal redemption. And so therefore, when I willfully sin, before I partake of the Lord's table, I can confess my sin. But if I go on in willful sin, you know what he says in Hebrews? God will judge this. He'll judge his people. And so the church is not to allow willful sinners to continue. You see, because it's leaven that will affect the whole lump. It has an effect on the other believers and on the church. And so we are to be without spot, without blemish, that we might be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as a glorious church. Where does that leave you? Today, do you know him? Are you living for him? Hey, we'd like to invite you to the New Freedom Baptist Church right here every Sunday at Selby, 9:30. And then also at 2:30 in the afternoon. And then Wednesday, prayer and Bible study at 7:30. Mowbridge, 11 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship service. We invite you.
Hide my face, I was so